Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Before we get started, I just wanted to say, if you guys like sports gambling, the best place to do it is at mybookie.com. So head over to mybookie.com today and use the promo code Drinkin' Bros to double your first deposit up to $1,000. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with mybookie. What the fuck's up? It's the Monday morning recap. I'm Rob. I'm your host. I'm feeling pretty foggy today. Got Giorgio and Dan here.
Who the fuck am I?
Yeah, what's with the beard?
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah, where'd the beard go?
You're the man with the granite chin.
I know. I just decided to shave it. There's really no rhyme or reason. I do this with my facial hair all the time. Sometimes I'll go mustache. Sometimes I'll go full beard.
Yeah, you didn't do fucking anything.
Yeah, I kind of envy my girlfriend because she gets to date like four or five different guys.
Yeah.
You're a chameleon.
Mm-hmm.
You're no longer Dirty Dan. Right now, you're Handsome Dan.
I can look different. Pretty much every
you have to
week
collect
so.
Every version yeah. of Dan's action card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
there's different versions. I mean, you already the beard's like three quarters back already.
Your 5 o'clock shadow is literally a carpet.
Yeah, like you, it's a deep shadow. It's a dark shadow.
It is. It is. You're right.
I have a really fat middle finger. If any of you can see, because if any of you watched us on Saturday, Andrew Craig stopped by. Former UFC veteran, current 10th Planet MMA head coach. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to actually let us know what was going on during these fights instead of us casuals just running our mouth. And then on Sunday, he proceeded to hurt my finger.
He jammed your finger up real good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a big man.
He's a big dude. Yeah. He's a great guy, too.
Great guy. Great hair.
Great hair.
I'm really jealous of his hair. He had that flowing curls. He came in late, just ate some pizza, smoked a joint. Really true Drinkin' Bros fashion.
Took over because Eli was in a K-hole of some sort.
Yeah, he was Eli's whole plan to come hang out and like be on the fight companion, and then he just puts his head down and takes a nap.
He was very high.
That seems on brand, to be honest.
For Eli?
It feels right.
Yeah, I don't think he knew what dimension he was in.
He had this giant like 6x6 inch brownie that he was eating, so I'm assuming that probably had something to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he ate like three quarters of that, too.
That's a huge mistake when you're doing edibles. People only think about length and width. They forget the depth.
They forget the girth.
Yeah, they forget the girth. I made that mistake in college once. We made pop brownies and like, but in a deep pan, and I didn't really think about the depth of the pan, so I probably had like 2.5.
Is that a Chicago-style pop brownie?
Yes, a deep dish fucking pop brownie. I was up till like 4 in the morning. That was probably my first panic attack ever. Not because I was like, oh no, I'm too high. It just like got me too high. My heart felt like it was about to jump out of my fucking chest.
Speaking of which, I can't hold a lighter right now, so I have to like kind of like wedge it in between my pinky finger. And
I got faith in you. You got
just
this.
Doing drugs.
Yeah. No, I looked in my mirror after going Ofer on the UFC main card.
Yeah.
And I was disgusted, so I had to shave the beard.
First of all, all of you out there who were like, it's super easy, you just pick the favorites, you just pick the favorites. What happened this time, everybody?
Dude, even I fucking saw the Amanda Nunes clips, and like that chick was throwing hands right back at her. I didn't see the end of the fight or anything. What happened? Did she get knocked out or
card? Yeah. No. So Nunes won the first round pretty easily. She was just ripping up Juliana Pena's leg.
Yeah.
And in the second round, they came out and they just decided, let's get into a firefight and just you throw a haymaker, I throw a haymaker. Yeah. It got, for what it was pretty entertaining. And then I guess Juliana Pena just kind of broke Amanda Nunes, dropped her, and then choked her out.
Yeah, she didn't even choke her out. Amanda Nunes just wanted to get out of the ring. She was like, I'm in a fight. I don't like being in fights. I like when people just fall down for me, which is what they've done for the last 5 years. For everyone who's watching right now, you're going to get my hot take.
That air quote was tough.
Here's the hot take.
Look at that. Injured air quote is not easy.
Yeah, no, it really wasn't. It kind of hurt a little bit, to be honest. Amanda Nunes just gave up. didn't have boots in, was not a rear naked choke, was across the chin line. Where you want to defend a rear naked choke is where Giuliana Pena had this in on Amanda. Amanda didn't try to get up, didn't circle away. She was just like, I'm pretty tired from being in this phone booth fight where we both just stood at each other. And Amanda just kept coming in over top, and Giuliana was just popping her with the jab. We were all confused sitting here, just one, two, three with the jab straight to Amanda's face, walked right into him. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, I'm tired, I'm gonna go home.
And you know, she's been champion for 6 years, and it's kind of, she's been the overwhelming favorite for that entire run.
Yeah.
At some point, like, you're not going to get up for fights. Like, it's just going to like, it's going to happen. If you're that's why it's so hard to defend a title that many times, is because, like, once you do it, you know, three, four, five times, it's just like, yeah, well, you just expect it to happen.
Who's so the real how many loser? Fights? How many fights in a row did she win?
That's a good question. The last time, she took the belt from Misha Tate.
Yeah.
Who was Giuliana Pena's teammate, and that was 6 years ago. I don't know how many times she's fought.
So I'm just trying to figure out how many times, like, if what were her odds? She was what were the underdog's odds
towards the end?
Starting out plus
I don't
what?
Know. Towards the end, it was like -1200 for Amanda Nunes. So you had to bet $1,200 to win $100.
Right. So would it be roughly the inverse for the dog?
It'd be like 800. Okay. 800 or something.
All right. So that's not really long enough odds to, like, really have fun with it.
I guess it is. You this was the drop $10, the drop $20. Mm-hmm. Like, leading up this, we're like, if you're going to sprinkle, you've only got $10. This is where you throw your money. But who was the real loser of this fight?
People would take Amanda and just throw her as, like, the free bingo spot for your parlay.
Yeah.
Probably ruined so many parlays.
You got to think so.
Yeah. Oh, Vegas just raking in that money.
Vegas made so much money.
Oh, God. It's just they hired Mexican day laborers to rake in all of that cash that they needed to do.
And although she's a wrestler, like, it's a mistake to get into a firefight with a Mexican boxer, you know?
No. She just stood back and just popped her with the jab. And it just, Amanda kept walking into it. But I think this really hurt Kayla Harrison. Like watching Amanda tap out was really Kayla Harrison's bank account tapping out, from my understanding.
So, yeah, Kayla Harrison, free agent technically, in the building. She's, you know, kind of a Olympic judo gold medalist.
Yep. The woman's goat of judo. Let's put it in perspective.
Like, she's part of PF. She was a part of PFL, won the tournament, made $1 million, I think, doing that. But now she's trying to get paid. She is also teammates with Amanda Nunes. But they were floating out the idea that she would be the one that could potentially dethrone Amanda Nunes.
Okay.
And it'd be kind of like this high money women's money fight. And yeah, as soon as Amanda lost, you could see, I think they went to a camera of Kayla Harrison just going, fuck! Like, not because you saw your teammate lose, but because you saw the money just leave your bank account.
Yeah, just fucking disappear. That's
Kayla Harrison, and then is it Carissa Shields were the two women that they thought could maybe take down Amanda Nunes, which are the women's judo goat and the women's boxing goat. Carissa Shields now signed to 1FC.
Also, shouts to Ivan Huerta in the comments. She is Mexican. She's half Mexican, half Venezuelan. So fuck off. I'm not racist. I know her background of Giuliana Pena.
Yeah, unlike Daniel Cormier, Dan Register does his homework. God, that was, how great was that? Like, just to derail for a second in MMA, like, DC, Bisbing, Dominic Cruz.
I mean, the whole card was awesome. Dominic Cruz obviously getting that dub on the prelims against Pedro Munhoz.
Performance of the night from old Dana.
Fight of the night.
Fight of the night, sorry, yeah. Fight of the night, yeah.
Obviously, the main event, Charlie Olives loses the first round. Dustin drops him, I think, twice. And then he comes out in the second, third round and just dominates DP. Retains his title, 155. Charles Oliveira
took his back pretty easily. Had the boots in for a minute. We were all sitting here and we were just like, "Is it?" And then it was like, "It's over." Like, he just got that's both the main card and the main event and the co-main event stopped by rear naked chokes.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder when the last time that happened was.
And I believe Dustin was on his feet.
Yeah. So, I was on his feet in the quad pod position, got rear naked.
Imagine a grown man just climbing onto your back and then choking you out as you're standing up.
I do that in the shower. Okay. Many days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's the man?
Doesn't matter.
The one in the mirror?
You with a beard.
Okay.
Ooh. Yeah.
That's why the shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dustin,
I don't want it to be in there. It just pops into my mind. We call those invasive thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right before that, Kai Car France knocking out
Cody Garbrandt.
Who saw? First of all, how small did Kai Car France look? He looked like
he's 125 pounds,
like a natural 125 pounds.
He's very small. He's calling for a title shot for some reason. No, it's not going to happen.
I think there's a documentary about his early part of his career when he was an amateur and he was still working for Willy Wonka.
Yeah, of course. I don't know what you do with Cody Garbrandt at this point in his career.
He's damaged goods.
He's at a crossroads. He's still name recognition, obviously former champion.
You just send him out there to be beaten, right? You just trot him out there.
He's a resume builder, even though he's not a good fighter anymore.
Yeah, no. He's just a piece of meat that you punch. He's like the side of fucking cow that Rocky hits in the barn.
And win or lose, it's always entertaining. He gets knocked out in significant fashion.
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah.
Sounds fun.
Like, Dana's not going to cut him or anything.
Okay, so here's what I heard afterwards. You do have stars at 125. You got Moreno, you got Figgy. People say that Cody is still a bigger star than both of them. I question that. What do you do with a guy who gets knocked out at 35, goes to 25, and then gets knocked out again? I don't see a lane for him.
But it doesn't matter because like that's the kind of fighter you want. A guy that goes in looking for the knockout and regularly gets knocked out himself.
Is there a job in the UFC you can give him? I don't know if it's commentator, some sort of like brand ambassador.
No, because like, all right, I don't know why. I like Cody as a fighter way more than I like him as a person. As a person, he is a cheese dick. He's just very unpleasant.
I feel him very unauthentic.
Yeah.
Was it like a Russell Wilson situation or?
Combination with like, all right, so if Russell Wilson had tats.
Okay.
And yeah, really into like motivation and all that bullshit. Not great.
On his grind, always grinding.
Yeah.
Okay. If Tony Robbins,
I would pay to watch this man get knocked out.
Had little man syndrome and was addicted to Monster Energy drink.
Okay. Perfect.
But also like former Onnit athlete, you know, kind of those vibes.
Yeah. Every day is a fucking challenge. Business is a sport. Whatever the fuck.
Kind of.
Yeah. Every day is a war. I wake up every day and go to war with life.
Yes.
I'm my only...
I've lost so much goddamn money on Cody Garbrandt. Like, for whatever reason, I don't like him.
You literally were talking to me before.
I'm like, I do not like him, but I will always bet on Cody Garbrandt. And it always bones me. He was so much bigger. So he dropped from 135 to 125. But obviously, he's fight night. He's way bigger. Gets the weight right back. And I thought, yeah, this is going to be a piece of cake for him. Like, he's going to just knock out a tiny guy. And I was wrong. He got caught himself. So
love it.
I don't know if he goes back to 135 and you just use him. Maybe him and O'Malley?
I wouldn't mind that. That's a big one last something for him. If he drops out of the rankings, you give him O'Malley as that like real stepping stone into the rankings. And then you re-sign O'Malley to a new contract. And you give him some of those ranked guys. I like that.
Yeah, Sugar Sean, by the way, opening the show. He actually impressed me. I know Paeva he kind of rotates between 125, 135, but I mean, he beat Kyler Phillips. He's not like a total tomato can. I actually bet on it. He's plus 230. I thought he was going to work O'Malley, and O'Malley dropped him, in the first round?
Yeah, we thought the O'Malley that showed up in these last two fights was going to show up again. It looks like he's moved past that.
What? First off, in that one fight, like he was fighting a brick wall.
A zombie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what do you want him to do?
You want him to stay focused, though.
I was distressed during that fight.
Yes, he was landing. He was doing damage in that fight. But he lost focus a lot. He got frustrated that the guy wouldn't go down.
He broke both of his hands against that man's head.
Yeah, how could you not lose focus? It's like punching a bag for like 40 minutes. You get a drift.
Where's your ground game? Where's your takedowns?
Yeah.
You pin him against the cage. Where's your Muay Thai? Where's your elbows? Where's your knees? You know, where's Charlie Olives had those? Olives displayed a great tie clinch, pulling Justin down into the uppercut, which I think really threw Dustin's game off. And then, the knees and the elbows from bottom allowed him to take.
That said, Oliveira's taking a little too much damage in the first round of his fights. Like the Chandler fight, he almost loses. Like, could have been a stoppage at some point, but thankfully wasn't. Poirier, there were some points in the first round where it was dangerously close to being over.
Yes, I think that's my biggest takeaway from that first round is Charles looked really good and was landing a lot cleaner, but it looked like anything that Dustin landed
was powerful.
Came with three or four times the power.
Oliveira looked like, we said this on the live watch, he was like time and a half speed. He looked much faster than Poirier, but Poirier, everything he landed just looked like it hurt way more.
Yeah.
So it was like that video game.
Oliveira was just like scoring points, and Poirier was
no, but he was still like landing good shots, and it was like really crisp and clean and fast. But like, yeah, Poirier just looked like kind of like a bruiser.
Yeah,
yeah, like Poirier's health meter like wasn't going down very much after each attack, and then Dustin would just come in with one hit, and Charles would go boo, like 20% would come down,
and then second round he's just like, fuck this, we're getting to the ground. And then Oliveira just worked him from there.
Just so many more ways to win. We got to really put respect on his name right now.
Yeah.
Do you think Khabib left too early?
I will still pick Gaethje to beat him.
Okay, so if he runs through Gaethje the same way he's ran through Ferguson, the same way he's ran through Chandler, the same way he's ran through DP, if he runs through Gaethje like that and either knocks him out or puts him down in the first two rounds, do we question Khabib leaving early? Was because Charles was in that mix. Like no, he's not the same Charles.
I don't think he was on the radar of Khabib at that point.
He wasn't, and I think he changed a few things. And
but there's going to be plenty of people that are like, oh, man, Khabib ducked Charlie Olives. And it's like, eh, I don't think he ever thought about that fight.
Charlie fought Tony very quickly after Plus, people were talking about Tony versus Khabib.
We can put that argument to bed because Islam's going to fight Oliveira at one point or another.
And what if Oliveira beats Islam?
Well, again, yeah, then I think you could maybe have that argument. But if Islam kind of makes quick work of Charlie, it's not really a question. Because Islam is essentially just 80% of Khabib.
But with better hands, they say.
I don't think so. I think we're disrespecting Khabib's hands because he dropped Connor.
He dropped
Justin.
Yep.
To the quote-unquote best strikers in 155.
From what the people say in the gym is Islam has the hands. I think Khabib had the transitions a little bit more. He was a little bit better in the transitions. His game plan was a little bit better as far as the restricting the leg movement and like the really hard pressure. But yeah, I mean, 155 is just super exciting what's going to happen with that over the next 2-3 years. Jeff Neal getting a big win. Really needing that win after that gun charge.
Close fight. Yeah. Nothing like, DUI and gun charge. What was it? Like 2 weeks before?
It was like a week before. It was like a week of, fight. Yeah.
I got
yeah.
no problem with my fighter getting those charges. He's a fighter.
Yeah.
What do you? Of course he's going to get a DUI and a gun charge.
In Texas, though.
Yeah, I think he actually owned the gun, so it was...
Right. They just had to double check it. Yeah. Anyway, none of that would like distress me at all. If I was like, oh no, the fighter I root for got caught with a gun he didn't own. Yeah, he fights in the MMA. Of course he has a gun he doesn't own. Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't any of them? That's how I feel about that. By the way, I want to go back to something really quick. Does this prove you can beat Amanda Nunes?
Yes. I mean, I was waiting for Ross to come back on the show to discuss this, but it's just like, I mean,
now you're fully confident that you're yeah, taking down Amanda Nunes.
Because it's not like Juliana Pena was like, you know, next up. She wasn't like, it wasn't like she was like, everyone thought she was just going to get walked over. It was just like,
I feel like before that I would have been like, Ross, how do you feel about me versus Juliana Pena? Ross would have been like, yeah, I think you could take Juliana.
Right. That's the type of thing.
Like Pena's not defending that title.
Again. Yeah.
Like if they fight again, Nunes is going to washer, I think.
Does she?
Yeah. I think because she'll be more focused. She'll actually have like kind of like a little bit more motivation to get back into the gym.
She did not impress me at all during that fight when she got tested. Like we talked about that. Like she was just pushing on the face to get away. She was walking
because
in the punches.
Giorgio, she has new perspective. Okay, she's a mother, mm-hmm. and as a father,
mm-hmm. yeah, as a father,
you know, having that child just means so much.
It changes
more.
Your world. It just opens your eyes.
Makes you softer.
So many new things. Yeah.
Makes you more caring for like your fellow human being.
You guys don't even know. It's just magical. I highly recommend having a child. Both of you, go do it.
Now?
Yeah.
Well, we don't know if I don't already have a kid somewhere.
That's true. Would you? And your kid like goes out of his way to not contact you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's like a deadbeat child. Like he doesn't want to meet you.
Especially during those rougher years of my life.
It's like dad's in Vegas blowing his 401k again. I'm just going to stay at the foster home.
It's probably a better option for him. Yeah.
Oh, fuck. In other news, other sports news, Quinn Ewers transfers to
Why
Texas
is that
officially.
A big news? All right. So BT Bates DM'd me this and I'll give him credit for this, but yeah, like I agree. Very like Tate Martell vibes I'm already getting from fucking Quinn Ewers.
Oh, huge Tate Martell vibes. This is not going to end well.
Yeah.
I think his ceiling right now is somewhere around Spencer Rattler.
Maybe. All this hype, and I haven't seen a single thing. Like, obviously, we'll see what he does on the field. But, like, yeah, I'll wait and see on this.
It's the type of thing where, like, you know, you want college players to have more agency and more control over their careers or whatever, but it's still a huge fucking red flag when a guy is clearly a total mercenary.
Yes and no, but I mean, that's college football now. That's coaches, that's players.
I don't know. It just feels like a fucking, like, I don't think Quinn Ewers is going to be good. He'll be fine. He'll put up some numbers in some games, but like Texas is not well coached. So he's not getting any favors.
You know what's going to happen? I can't wait till Hudson Card starts next year and he transfers again.
Who, Ewers?
Yes.
You only get one free transfer though, right?
I think you get two.
You get two?
You get two transfer portal things. I don't know.
Who did he decommit from before he went to Ohio State?
Wait, what? You get
Texas.
Two free transfers?
So he decommitted from Texas, went to Ohio State, and now he's back with Texas.
Mm-hmm. And he was supposed to go to Tech, I think. Jesus. Which would have ended super well, I'm sure.
Great. Yeah, so this guy's playing for, like, Oregon or Miami in 2 years.
Time out, I've got a question, like, guys. Is this building a generation of pussies?
No, so the generation after us is all about, like, knowing your worth. And
No, but it's like whenever you're not getting exactly what you want out of your college, you're like, I'm transferring. Whenever, right. But it puts the onus on you to know what's best for you as, like, a player. When at that age, do you really?
Right, like, what I'm saying is the front is it's knowing your worth, but at the end of the day, you're just a selfish asshole.
Right.
Well, the problem is they're right that you should be cognizant of your worth. What they're wrong on is what they think they're worth.
Everyone is a narcissist.
Yeah. What they're worth is nothing. Right. We're all worthless. They don't understand that.
You can go to any of these teams you want, and just because of that doesn't mean they're going to win a national title. So maybe you should shut your mouth.
But college football as a whole, we for whatever reason, maybe not me personally because I went to UCF and I kind of have realistic expectations with what my program is going to be. But if you go to a major P5 school that is like a quote-unquote football power, every year you expect, we need to win a national championship. And if that's not the case, our coach needs to go. You know, LSU, like Coach O just won a natty.
Right.
He's gone a few
years
later.
And then Chizik before that.
How do you do that with a coach that wins a national title? Does he not come to the board and say, like, hey, I've got a plan to rebuild for a few more years? Like, we can't have these.
They have so much money invested. Boosters have so much money invested in these programs that it's like, if you don't win now, you're gone.
And it's like money that they don't even get back. Invest is not the way to put it. If they're just like buying self-esteem.
That's all it is.
Like, really.
But, like, and all these schools, they just, they have no self-awareness. It's like, all right, Alabama is Alabama now because of Nick Saban. It's the greatest coach of all time.
Is it just because of Saban, though?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, obviously, you have Alabama's history, and you have the resources of Alabama. But, like, Alabama, before Saban, like, went into this dead period
because they had 70 recruits each year, right? They had a bunch of their scholarships cut because of the cheating scandal. Isn't that what Saban rebuilt after that?
There was a scandal near the end, but they were bad before that.
They're bad. Like,
and by bad, like, what are you talking? Like top 10?
Like, UCF beat them in 2000 or whatever.
I would call it, like, they were floating between 5 and 9 wins, which is bad for Alabama.
5 and 9 wins?
Between 5 and 9 wins.
Oh, so they had some 5-win seasons?
Yeah, they weren't good.
Oh, that's bad.
No. Yeah, they were missing bowls. Every once in a while.
I didn't realize they were that bad.
Yeah, they were that bad.
Yeah, they weren't like Kansas or some shit.
No, and traditionally before that, though, they were national title.
Yeah, they were a blue blood before Saban got there.
Well, Bear Bryant.
Yeah, Bear Bryant and shit. Like, they were great, but they were in kind of the period that Texas is in right now, but they had hit higher highs.
Because what it seems like is, like, all these schools right now are just like, hey, I need to find the next Nick Saban.
Yeah, they're all
idiots. They're just running the lottery, pulling the wheel, the roulette wheel each time. It's like, did you do it this time? Nope. Get you out someone else in. Like,
pretty much.
But they don't understand that. Like, it's not just that.
Yeah, it's fucking.
It has to be that plus the perfect recruiting class.
No, it is that. Saban is one in – he is his own thing. He's his own entity. People need to understand there are no other Nick Sabans. Like, he is his own
Chasing
thing.
That dragon will get you fucked. We'll get you Texas.
Roy Williams had a Coach K, though.
What?
Roy Williams had a Coach K in basketball.
Yeah, basketball, the bench is a little deeper.
Are you saying Roy Williams is better than Coach K? I'm here for that argument.
As a Tar Heel, I am.
Yeah.
Honorary Tar Heel.
He might be.
Two schools? I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. fuck you, Coach K.
That's fine. But yeah, like there is no other Nick Saban, and all these schools like Texas and LSU and even like Miami and shit, they all fucking.
Then do you poach someone from the pros?
No. I mean, maybe.
Then what, just give the title to Alabama every year? Like, there's got to be a plan for something.
Here's the thing. It's just college football, again, is having an identity crisis. It's being Nebraska football, not knowing what you are. It's you had this, like, kind of, like, glorious past. You peaked in high school, and then thinking you're just that same person when you're, like, 45. It's just not the same.
People, man. No one's accepting reality. Essentially, everyone just needs to batten down the hatches and wait for Nick Saban to die.
Yeah. But
that's pretty much it.
It's the major theme of college football. How do you build for the long term? Awareness of what you are.
You don't fire your coach every three fucking years.
It's giving them a little bit more rope.
How do you make sure you're the next program up when Alabama cycles out?
It doesn't matter. It's everyone's going to think they're the next program up as long as they had some sort of success in the past. So it's just kind of this revolving cycle of bullshit that you just kind of spew because you think you're better than you actually are. And you're just going to constantly be mediocre. That's the story of Texas football.
Yes.
And Nebraska, who is probably not even mediocre at this point anymore.
They're just bad.
Yeah.
Miami.
Although best 3-9 team in the country.
It's Miami too. That's another one.
Mm-hmm.
Is Saban winning with a system, or is he changing it up every year? Just depending upon the players.
System is Nick Saban. He has changed. He has adapted with the times, though. Like the first half of Nick Saban's career, power running. The defense is still the same. Defense is still great.
Yeah, but all his coordinators leave him, so it's not like there's a specific coordinator just stays. He just revolves. It's like you come to me. Some other school is going to pay you because you just got fired. You'll be my offense coordinator or like my assistant. Of some sort, some type of analytics guy.
Dude, it's really interesting. He is kind of like, he kind of moneyballs it with coordinators now. He just buys the dip on all these people. Bill O'Brien, fucking Lane Kiffin.
Guys that fell elsewhere come to Saban. He teaches them his ways. They leave. They go get other jobs.
Yeah, but what is he teaching them? If they're coming in and running like the new offense of the time, like, what's popular right now?
He's a CEO.
What's winning?
It's how to run a program.
Yeah,
all together. Because like Nick Saban is one of the best recruiters because he just goes to like literally he goes on Zoom or he'll go face to face to a prospect and just be like, hey, here are the guys I have in the NFL. Here are the national championships I've won, like
Heisman Trophy winners.
He is his own brand.
At this point, the machine's too big to stop.
Yeah,
like he doesn't need to do anything at this point.
There's no one from the pros who can come down.
It's not necessarily about having a coach from the pros versus a coach in college. Like it's just. Like it's not like every NFL coach is better than all the college.
Right now, what Dan's talking about is that quality assurance that you get with saying I've put 30 players in the Hall of Fame or I've
it's
put
establishment. Yeah. It's like buying Apple stock, you know
exactly.
It's not like,
but you can bring like superstars from the pros down to outshine him in that aspect, or at least like match the shine.
You would think
because like here's the thing, right? It's like the problem with college basketball now is people are just hiring former like stars of the program, like Penny Hardaway at Memphis, who is just a bad coach. Like he's going to get all the top recruits because he's Penny Hardaway.
He's going to
like
the
him,
kids.
But he's a terrible fucking coach.
Well, no. That's a program's fault for not surrounding him with the other coaching funds.
They have Larry fucking Brown at Memphis, who is one of the best basketball minds of all time. And they still suck.
Then something going on with distribution of responsibilities, because Penny Hardaway can show you things that only Penny Hardaway can do. And if he can adapt some of those players to that secret sauce, that takes you from a good to a great. If you surround him with a good fundamentals and good coaching and good practice schedule around that, I think you can have success. Which is also the recipe, I think, in football.
The recipe for good coaching, too, is usually not a star player. Like Penny Hardaway, too good to be a good coach.
Yeah, it's always the mediocre players who are good coaches.
The superstar players and like the true greats have something about them, though. They have knowledge that other people don't have,
they're terrible at giving to other people because they don't understand it themselves. They're like, "How can't you do this? I used to do this. Why can't? Well, where's the gap?"
But it's not always just the superstar athletic ability. It's sometimes like the wizards of the sport find like the little niches, the little nuances. Like that's how the sport. That's
sure,
how the sports
they're,
evolve.
They're
you know what
yeah,
I'm
but they're terrible at like. Conveying that to other people.
A lot of times I think they're really like autodidactic and they don't understand how to like tell other
it's
people.
Happened in every sport. Wayne Gretzky
it takes someone breaking down their film and then applying that to like kids or applying that to someone else and be like, oh, that's what they did.
Yeah, because like Wayne Gretzky was a terrible hockey coach.
Yeah, Michael Jordan, currently a terrible, basically, general manager.
Right, but I'm sure Michael Jordan has made people better one-on-one. I'm sure he's taken
I don't know about that. Like, really. Maybe
not in like a from a team standpoint, but like on those all-star teams, on those Olympic teams, I'm sure he's been in he was a leader of those teams, or not, you know, like a coach on the court, captain on the court, was running a lot of the practices from what we hear. Like, everything kind of revolved around Jordan.
No.
I think it was
Phil Jackson.
Yeah. Jordan just did his thing. That's way more of a Kobe thing. Kobe was probably more of a leader on the court than Jordan.
A lot of people hated Kobe.
Yeah, people fucking hated him.
That played with Kobe. So,
yeah.
He wasn't really a leader.
He was just a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Quinn Ewers, I think that's going to flame out so fucking hard at Texas.
Could. It could. And we got bowl season, obviously. Go ahead and check out that bowl preview. Yeah, we did with Ross.
We did everything but the New Year's Six bowls and the playoff.
Which we will do later.
If Quinn Ewers is going to be so bad at Texas and it's so obvious, like, why isn't someone else?
Because he's not obvious.
The highest rated recruit since Trevor Lawrence or something like that. I mean, you obviously take a flyer on him. It just doesn't. I'm just not optimistic about...
I am always pessimistic.
Well, yeah, I know.
Okay, here's something. Do you redshirt him?
No.
He already just kind of redshirted.
He already did, yeah.
He already took a redshirt year?
He can retroactively get a redshirt for this past year.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, and I doubt he'll... He won't... It doesn't even matter, though.
I mean, Hayden Hooker's coming back for like a sixth year for Tennessee next year.
Right.
And he actually would have been drafted, which is wild. So maybe he's just trying to...
Yeah.
Pump that stop. That and I mean, stock up with Heupel.
Quinn Ewers is he's 6'3", 195. So he's like a draftable build already. Right. So he's not, use a red shirt or not, he's not going to be in college for 4 years. You know what I mean?
Like, he doesn't sound that big. You know, those numbers are inflated. So he's really 6'1.5".
Right. But he'll be.
So he's Dan size, but a little bit taller.
He'll be sexy enough to some NFL team that they'll take him in the first round.
Yeah. I love that we're leading college football, though, with this, not the guy that just won the Heisman.
Yeah, but there's nothing...
I guess we could mention it. Like, it was expected Bryce Young won the Heisman.
Finally, someone stepped up and, like, deserved it.
First Alabama quarterback to win the Heisman.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. That says a lot about the program.
Not Tua.
Not Mac Jones. Mac could have.
Yeah, but he just ran into, you know...
He had another guy on his team. Mac Jones was deserving of the Heisman. He was a finalist. Was Bryce Young only the second Alabama finalist at quarterback ever?
I don't know about that, but I know he's the first Alabama Heisman winner. Yeah. It is weird, though, because we talked about Alabama's success even before Nick Saban, but the first, I believe, Alabama Heisman winner was Mark Ingram.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. I guess there were never a school where dudes were putting up like crazy numbers, even when they were great.
Yeah. Let me just double check to make sure. But from what I remember, when Mark Ingram won the Heisman, that was like a big deal.
But by the way, like, it is actually really fucking weird to me that people didn't. Let me look up this real quick. That people were like, there are people out there being like, I don't know, man, Bryce Young, he's not that good. Like, I guess he kind of backed into it because no one was really like putting up numbers this year. But he legitimately has like great numbers.
Yeah.
I don't know what the problem is. Like 43 touchdown passes. That's fucking nuts. 4,300 yards.
Torched the best defense.
Yeah.
Okay, and I know numbers are like a really good way to compare people between the seasons. Like, that's kind of the metric that, like, stays. But also, like, it does not take into account the way the league was. Like, it was just, like, kind of, like, ridiculous this year.
Yeah, it was
all over the place. Like, so it's like, okay, he didn't have great numbers. He's the one guy who, like, didn't, like, let the ship slip.
And he also torched, before the game, historically one of the best defenses in college football history.
Ever.
So that, I mean, and he led that last drive against Auburn to win that game, kind of. Pulled that out of the jaws of defeat.
Yeah.
So I think that single-handedly won him the Heisman before the Georgia game.
He fucking deserves it.
He did. And also, it was kind of like a down year. If there was ever a year a defender could have won the Heisman, probably could have been this year.
Yeah, but if the best you're going to offer is Aiden Hutchinson, pass.
Okay.
Pass. He's rad and he's fun to watch, but he's like, I don't know. He's not Ndamukong Suh. Or something, you know what I mean? He's not the type of dude who just, like, changes the game in a way where you can see everything revolving around him. Mm-hmm. He just comes off the edge and gets numbers.
And then we got two big names that entered the transfer portal last few days.
Who?
Got Keaton Slovis at USC.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
So he could go anywhere. And then you have Bo Nix from Auburn.
He's going to UCF?
Might be making his way to Orlando.
Oh, shit! Playing in the Big 12?
Well, not this year.
Do you want him? Would you take Bo Nix?
I'll take Bo Nix, yeah.
You don't want your freshman guy to get more?
I don't really like Mikey Keene, no.
No?
Too many like TikTok vibes from Mikey Keene.
Yeah. That's not good.
No. Can you look past that?
I can't.
Okay.
He's like an e-boy. I don't like that.
Are we going to start? I mean, is that going to be more popular as this goes on?
Dude, this is how I know I'm getting old. It's just like every like college kid that is on my squad now, I'm just like, man, that's really what we're going with now, huh?
Right. Okay. I feel that watching don't Connor Bazelak a lot. I'm just like, yeah, him,
huh?
This guy?
Anything for the internet clout?
It's not good. You know, he's from Arizona. He's got that like e-boy haircut. Like the bangs.
An e-boy haircut.
It's like where it just kind of comes down and swoops out or swoops in the front.
Swoops in the front with like curly fucking.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, it has a dangly earring.
Yeah.
It's not good.
That's not
good.
Not ideal.
It's you look at yourself in the mirror far too much to be a male.
Yeah. Okay.
That's our generation coming up we're going to have to deal with.
Speaking of clout on the internet, Ivan Huerta says Conor McGregor said he wants to fight Oliveira. Just to pivot back real quick, Conor McGregor will say anything on a headline to fight anybody just to keep his name running around Twitter because that's the Conor McGregor machine. Get used to it. It's BS.
Yeah, speaking of internet clout.
He will probably fight Dustin again? I don't know.
No, he fights Nate. And that's Nate's last fight on his contract. And then,
or Dustin, because Dustin just wants to get paid again.
I think Dustin goes up to 170.
To fight Colby?
I think he might fight there for a little bit.
I think Colby works him. I don't think he wants any smoke with Colby.
Colby's a bad man.
Colby's just bigger and also just better on the ground. And I think he would just kind of like ride him out for 4 or 5 rounds.
Probably. Yep. Better wrestler. Yep. But back to football.
Yeah. Yeah.
Real quick, let's get into some ads. First up, we got Ghostbed. Ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. You guys listen to the show a lot. If you don't, I'll tell you about it real quick, what Ghostbed is. They're the best beds in the world. They're the best beds you will get anywhere. And you buy them at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. Don't go to some stupid, like, you know, strip mall or whatever and get some sketchy mattress there. It's from some weird guy who probably sleeps at the store. Just don't do that. The mattresses aren't as good. And like I said, it's all weird and dumb. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. Their mattresses are awesome. Their bedding's awesome. We can't recommend this company enough. They've been advertising with us for like 5 years. Most of the people here own a ghost bed. Pretty much everyone here owns some ghost bed product. Again, like we use it all the time. We love it. There's a ghost bed in the studio, in fact. Right now, ghost bed is running 2 deals. Both of them are really good. Both of them have huge discounts. I'm going to tell you about them in the order of the discount. First up is their bundle deal. You get 40% off of everything in your cart when you start out with one of their 4 mattresses and an adjustable base. And then you build on from there. More mattresses, sheets, pillows, whatever. Anything you buy, as long as you do the bundle, you get 40% off your entire order. However, maybe you need to shop a little more a la carte. Maybe you don't need that specific combination of things. That's fine too. You can get 30% off your entire order by going to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros and using the promo code Drinking Bros. So that's anything, whether you're getting like 2 or 3 mattresses, like a huge order, or just 1 pillow, whatever you buy, 30% off with the code Drinking Bros. These mattresses are made in America. They have a 20-year warranty. You could try it 101 nights for free, and if you don't like it, you can send it back. And then also, you can finance the mattresses. It's like $35 a month, 0 down, 0% financing. Just great stuff all around. Again, Ghostbed is the best place to buy a mattress. Don't do it anywhere else, and now you get a huge discount on it, too. Cannot recommend doing this enough. Next up, we've got Mint Mobile this holiday season. The best deal in wireless can only be found at Mint Mobile. Right now, when you switch to Mint Mobile and buy a 3-month plan, you'll get another 3 months for free. As the first company to sell premium wireless service online only, Mint Mobile lets you order from home and save a ton with phone plans that start at just $15 a month. I've been using Mint Mobile for a long time before this holiday deal, and I have to say it's the perfect time to switch. Everyone likes to get like phones and crap. That is like the best present that people get, I feel like, at this point, than like a laptop or something. Everybody likes to get a new phone and a new phone plan for Christmas. I think my old phone bill with Verizon, like with me and my wife or whatever, is like $300 a month or something crazy like that. Just something obscene. I like, this is just, you save a hilarious amount of money switching to Mint Mobile, I definitely recommend doing it. And then you can use that money on other stuff like your family or alcohol. I recommend either of those things. Maybe the latter more than the former, but whatever. Mint Mobile's best offer of the year is here. This is what it is. For a limited time, buy any three-month plan. Again, buy any three-month plan, you get 3 months free. Go online and eliminate the traditional costs of retail. Mint Mobile passes along those savings that they have by not, you know, buying stores and all that crap. They pass it on to you by just being online only. All plans come with unlimited talk and text and high-speed data, and it's delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. With Mint Mobile, choose the amount of monthly data that's right for you and stop paying for data that you never use. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with your existing contacts. Just switch to Mint Mobile and get premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month. And for a limited time, again, buy any three-month Mint Mobile plan and get 3 months free by going to mintmobile.com/drinkingbros. That's mintmobile.com/drinkingbros. mintmobile.com/drinkingbros. Cut your wireless bill down to like $15 a month at mintmobile.com/drinkingbros. Next up, we've got MyBookie. We're talking sports. This is the place where we do our sports betting. Why take a chance investing in stocks when you can double your money instantly with MyBookie? You can't predict when a hunch will pay off, but use our promo code DRINKINBROS at MyBookie, and I guarantee you'll double your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. I guarantee that because that's literally the promotion. That's why that'll happen. I can easily guarantee it because that's what the code does. The best part is MyBookie accepts everything from credit cards to well-known cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, Litecoin, and Ethereum, so you can bet and withdraw with crypto if you want to. Don't miss out. Double your first deposit up to $1,000 by using the promo code DRINKINBROS. Head to MyBookie.com today to start betting and use the promo code DRINKINBROS to double whatever money you deposit. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. And remember, it's bowl season. We did a bowl preview show. And my recommendation is to just do a crazy, just put like $20 in or something like that and just do a crazy like 10-team parlay. That would be my recommendation. So again, mybookie.com. Use the promo code DRINKINBROS.
And college football, I think we kind of covered everything there. NFL.
Navy with the upset.
Oh, Navy with the upset. That's right.
And the under hit.
Under hit.
Under hit. That was the only bet I won this weekend.
Barely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I lost a lot of money in the UFC.
Yeah, I didn't do great either. Not a great weekend. Don't have to pay, thankfully, but not a great weekend. What was I going to say? NFL. Dude, the Chiefs are back.
They rolled the Raiders.
Chiefs are fucking bad.
I was super confused on how the Chiefs were so bad at the beginning of the season.
They fucking, because
I just did not get
because
it.
Because they're so good, they don't care. And they finally got punched in the mouth. I mean, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say the Chiefs, like, fucking jacked their way off into the Super Bowl last year. Like, they were sleepwalking with their dicks in their hand, just like shrugging the whole way.
Just had so much talent that it's like someone will score, someone will get big play here, someone will come up with some interception or big sack. Yeah.
They finally got punched in the mouth at the start of this year, finally got a fucking wake up call. I guess the Super Bowl wasn't enough, because even with the Super Bowl, they could be like, well, we were missing half our offensive line, which is fair. But now, they've got a wake-up call, and now they're fucking terrified.
So they're kind of acting like champions, finally.
Yes. They finally woke the fuck up. And also, I don't even think Mahomes is, like, you know, Mahomes can still get better. Like, he's kind of still...
He's going to need to get better.
Yeah. Because the Bucks also look fucking crazy.
Talk about that.
Well, they almost blew that game to the Bills.
They
did. Is that your headline? Is they almost blew that game to the Bills?
Well, they were up, what,
24-3? And they were rescued by a former UCF great, Perriman.
Yeah.
All right.
Tom Brady, walk-off touchdown for the win in overtime, his 700th career touchdown. Fucking bananas.
Is that just the gunslinger who won't die? He's like, just needs someone to walk out there and shoot him and like everyone.
This is the closest I've watched a Tom Brady game since last year's NFC Championship. I can't count the Super Bowl because I was really drunk. And like, dude, I've never seen that much precision with a quarterback. It's fucking crazy. Like, this dude is like an artist. He's a machine. Like, it's the timing, everything. It's just fucking crazy.
He needs it's just everything's moving around him.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like he's there, like waiting for it, ready. And it's just like, are you guys going to make the play for me so I can put
this guy's going to play for like another 4 years? He's going to win the MVP this year. It does not make sense. He has literally passed Michael Jordan as the best athlete in American history.
Like, what's he drinking? Like, do we all just get on the avocado smoothie? Like,
yeah, is that tomatoes. Yeah, you got to go with that anti-inflammation diet.
Always stretching.
He's all about just the core workout.
He sucks the youth out of his children's mouths.
Because he open mouth kisses them, right?
Yeah, his kids are basically like soul banks. He's soul boys. Like, he sucks a little soul out of them.
But, like, you can't even really make fun of him because he's got self-awareness and he makes fun of himself all the time.
Yeah.
Man, there's really no... Does Brady have a small hog? Is that his one deficiency?
I doubt it.
But he needs something, right? Like, he has to have some imperfection.
Something's got to be wrong with him.
Maybe. I don't know.
Like, he can't turn left?
I mean, he is a Hertz spokesman now, so maybe he'll murder his wife one day.
He's like a UPS truck? What?
Yes.
He can't turn left?
Oh. Maybe, dude. I don't
know. I actually, when I was told that UPS trucks, their routes are built to only make right-hand turns.
Interesting.
I didn't think it was for efficiency. I thought, like, literally the truck would flip over if it made a left-hand turn.
Oh, like the weight distribution? Yeah. He couldn't do it?
You never know, man. Those are some boxy trucks.
Yeah. Same thing with Ben Stiller. If he turns left, he just falls over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what... Like, just watching Tom Brady yesterday, I was just like... Good God. Like, I don't understand how you can be this precise.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make fucking sense.
Is this the key to quarterbacks going back to throwing mechanics, to going back to, like, footwork, to being in the position to make the plays versus just being these, like, super athletes?
Yeah, 100%. I actually don't think... I think his arm is probably, like, the least part of it. It's all his footwork and just, like, understanding where everyone's going to be on the field.
Exactly,
like
getting his angles.
How the pocket collapse.
Yeah.
Like, where to go. Like, yeah. He's not mobile, but he's mobile in the pocket. Like, he knows where to go.
Right. Well, yeah, well, it's like at the end of Loki or whatever, when that dude kept moving when they were trying to stab him, because he knew what was happening. Mm-hmm. Like, he already saw everything. He wasn't fast. He just knew when something was going to happen. So he appeared... fast. Like, that's it. Tom Brady knows when someone's coming, so he appears mobile.
And I think that's going to be kind of rare moving forward. It's going to be a lot of guys just kind of relying on their athleticism.
It's going to be Lamar Jackson's and Kyler Murray's.
Yeah.
But you need that. That's what I'm saying. Like, if there's anything out there, these, like, young quarterbacks or someone need to see, like, that's the way forward for longevity.
Yeah, but that's just not going to happen. The game's evolving, and
it's also not how you can not get hit. Like, this is the key to greatness, and they're all, like, wanting to ignore it.
Yeah.
And it bothers me, and it makes it easy.
But at this point, Tom Brady's also like, you like just can't expect that level of work ethic from a normal human being.
You have to.
He's a fucking psycho.
The 100,000 throws each time, each position.
Right. I get it.
I don't buy the 10,000-hour bullshit. You can be really bad at something for 10,000 hours.
Well, that's why practice makes permanent, not perfect.
Right.
Practice it badly, you'll permanently be bad
at it.
And
you're just shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's also, again, like, he's a psycho. Like, you're not going to get, like, Quinn Ewers to do this shit. You know what I mean? Like, even Trevor Lawrence is not going to fucking do that.
Trevor Lawrence might not be in the league.
No, he's going to die, yeah. Certainly Baker Mayfield's not going
to... Oh, that's something we need to talk about.
What?
Urban Meyer.
Oh, yeah.
We got to talk about Urban.
Holy shit. I love that he gave essentially the inverse of the Mike Gundy, I'm a man speech.
He gave the speech where he said, I'm not a loser, you're a loser. All of his assistants. And he's like, I don't know who the snake is, but I'm going to find out, and you're getting fired.
It'd be like me yelling at my wife and child that they're holding me back.
They're not?
Maybe they are.
I'm so bad that I might actually like Urban now. Like, I was out on Urban until he did this.
Explain.
Not as, like, a normal, you know, well-thought-out human, but, like, as a character. Urban just shifting the blame everywhere else.
Yeah. Anywhere else.
It's fantastic.
Man, like, one of his coaches, when he asked him to explain the resume, should have faked a heart attack.
And then him having that handshake with Vrabel, where he just looks dead-eyed, soulless,
yeah,
and just very limp, fucking dead fish handshake to Vrabel.
Wow.
After a 20-0 loss.
What did he expect? Going to the fucking Jags. Like, he's been playing on easy mode for 15 years.
What did the Jags expect?
I don't know what they expected either. Like, at this point...
How is Urban still the coach?
I don't know. Because Urban Meyer hasn't been, like, any sort of, like, visionary coach for 10 years, since maybe Florida, 15 years, because everything he did at Ohio State, again, he was a great CEO at Ohio State, right? Mm-hmm. But that was Ryan Day, Tom Herman, and the fact that they brought in every fucking blue chip in the country.
Also, you just can't talk to professional athletes who get paid to play a game the way Urban talks to, like, his guys.
Right. They're not scared of you the way the kids are.
Yeah. They're grown men.
Yeah.
They'll just beat you up.
It'd be funny if someone beat the shit out of Urban Meyer.
If there was ever a coach to get his ass beat by a player, I think it's Urban.
It might be.
That sounds like a scene from Any Given Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there a fight? No, the two players fought in Any Given Sunday.
Yeah, two players. And then
no one fought Pacino.
They chainsawed the car in half or whatever.
That's rad. I love that. Yeah, dude. Urban, man, what a fucking year. His life is just like...
collapsing.
Yeah, pretty much.
What's next? Should have stayed at Fox.
He should have. People liked him.
You can always go back.
Can you? No
one likes you.
Now everyone's like,
gone.
Dude, you're
a
piece of shit.
Do they not? Or do all the young Barstool bros think he's the man for grabbing young booty?
Well, yeah, everybody thinks he's the man for that, but...
he's also terrible. And yeah. A psycho.
He's not a good coach. This is what happens when...
Blaming other people for your problems and grabbing young booty sounds like it fits in very well with millennials.
Like, never...
Yeah, never accept
responsibility. Yeah. Always deflect. It's never your fault.
If anything, Urban's a victim. He is he's a true greatness surrounded by incompetence.
I agree. I think Urban Meyer is a victim. Yeah.
They set him up to fail.
A victim of his previous success.
Yeah.
And that's really the story of college football.
He's a victim of his own greatness. And it's sad. And I feel bad for him. And I also want to hold the rest of the Jags staff accountable.
Did you see he unleashed his sleeper cell, Zach Smith, yesterday on Twitter?
What?
Zach Smith was just going off on Twitter on people.
Defending Urban?
I think, yeah.
Urban didn't even like him.
No.
Urban was like, I had to hire him because he's like my mentor's grandson.
I also don't even think Zach Smith might not be a real person.
At this point.
Again, it might just be an Urban bot.
Well, you know, everyone becomes their bit. He has turned into the meme that he is.
Yeah, that's true. Live long enough to see yourself become the bit.
Yeah, literally. God. Yeah, that's pretty much where things are going. Nicholas, do we have a hockey minute?
I mean, nothing really big going on in the NHL right now.
Come on.
Camera 7.
Show that sweater off.
Not too much going on in the NHL right now. It's still the first half of the season. Teams are just, I mean.
Flyers suck.
Well, yeah. I mean, right now the divisions are, the points wise, like, they're pretty strong. The wild card is open to a lot of teams, but it's not even halfway through the season yet. So nothing too big, too crazy, no trades, no nothing. I mean, Rangers playing really well. Dallas just coming off of a horrible road trip, but doing really well the beginning half of it. I mean, my team, the Sharks, they're trying to figure out their identity this year still. So not a whole lot going on in the NHL right now.
Let's go Blues. That's all I know.
Let's go Blues.
That's all I give a shit about.
Big news in the other football. Quickly, for any of you who care, the Champions League, which is where all the teams from all the different countries play each other.
There's nothing more confusing than fucking soccer.
Yeah, well, you know, this is where the teams you might know play each other. So Real Madrid is playing PSG in the round of 16, which is crazy because these are the two richest super clubs in the world, and it's pretty early for them to play each
Didn't
other.
Didn't Barcelona just get knocked off?
They did, because they are in debt up to their eyeballs. That's it. If you want to see a super great club just fall into mediocrity and, like, burn the way Barcelona has, and as a Chelsea fan, it has been amazing to watch this happen.
It's pretty on brand for Spain, no?
Yeah, yeah, it's real. Catalonia,
what, being
specifically.
Debt? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Catalonians, they free yet?
Yeah, Messi had to leave because of his tax obligations.
Yeah. Do you guys want to go be guerrilla fighters for the Catalonians?
Sure. I mean, how many soccer players are currently, like, they have, like, some type of tax fraud allegations going against
for
them?
For the amount of money that could, like, run a country, mm-hmm. it's like tens of millions of dollars or hundreds of billions of dollars in tax fraud. And it's just like, oh, maybe this is why these countries are, like, bankrupting the euro. It's because none of the soccer players will pay taxes.
None of them are paying their fucking taxes. It's got to be confusing as fuck, though. You're paying taxes in, like, six different countries.
It's the same with you're a pro athlete in the U.S. You got to pay taxes for every state you play in.
I know. It's such
bullshit.
Seems,
you You can't do that on your own. You're not doing that in TurboTax.
Absolutely. Yeah. No. No, you're not. You're like, what's the deduction? That I bought some weights or so. I'm like, yeah, fuck. You got to. And then I assume, however shifty, there's a lot of, you know, shifty, like, celebrity accountants in the United States. It's got to be even worse in Europe.
And it's also funny to see everyone, because you can only max out your 401k. To a certain extent,
yeah.
No matter how much money you make, so like pro athletes, like they hit their 401k with like one paycheck.
Okay, yep, that's locked out. And a lot of these guys come from countries that like might not even have taxes.
Yeah, look, dude, if I'm a European soccer player, if I'm playing soccer in Europe, I don't know how the taxes work there. All I know is I'm trying to do as much of it as I can in Switzerland. Just like put it where you put the Nazi money,
right?
Right, like that's what I want. Just the dirt, put the dirtiest bank in Switzerland. That's where I'm taking my money for no one to touch ever. Like put it next to Hitler's gold.
And it's insane. Like I'll talk about some of these numbers. So Mino Raiola, who is the biggest soccer agent in the world, who manages some of the best players, is managing this guy named Erling Haaland, who's a 19-year-old who's playing for Borussia Dortmund right now, who is a tank of a human. He's like 6'4", 190 pounds as a striker, just bowling in goals. He's currently making 400,000 pounds a week, looking to make somewhere in the area of 600,000 to 800,000 a week. His transfer fee will probably be in the 120 to 150 million range. And then there'll also be like 20% add-ons for Mino Raiola and all the other stuff that goes through there. So we're looking at like $1 billion deals almost.
Right. And that's before you get to like endorsements and shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just like, oh, like no wonder.
Like 20 different countries. Like what happens when you're like, this isn't soccer, but like Roger Federer, for example, he used to be Nike. And then he switched to Uniqlo, which is fucking Japanese. So, like, he gets, like, a fucking... I think he got, like, a $500 million, something crazy deal from Uniqlo. So you paying that in Japan? Are you paying that in Switzerland? Like, that sounds like a fucking nightmare. It's a good nightmare. It's a nightmare I want to have. But, right, like, right. God damn. It's a nightmare I want, too.
Also, the conversion rates when that hits the bank account. Because it's direct deposit. I don't know how that works.
Yeah. I'd be pissed if I was paying, like, Japanese taxes. I'd be like, pay for your own shit. I'm making this money over here.
Pay for your own high speed trains.
Yeah. Your bullet trains aren't my problem, Japan.
I just watched like a 3-hour YouTube doc on like all the high speed Chinese rails that go to cities that aren't built yet.
Oh, yeah. Just ghost cities and
China. All the trains that
they're
go to
going
nowhere.
To move people into. It's like empty like ant farms, essentially.
Yeah.
God, it's such a creepy country.
It's just to keep their GDP super high.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, let's just spend and spend.
They just build whole, and they do it in like a week. Yeah. They just like
it really is like ants. It's just like you see like a time lapse of it, and it's like,
yeah. Literally, and then it's empty. No
this
one lives.
Is why I'm sure soccer players will eventually, like in the next few years, be paid in crypto so they can hide it all.
Why not?
That makes sense because like some of the soccer players used to do it. They were huge philanthropists, like Didier Drogba, who built like so many hospitals in Africa. And I was like, oh, it's probably how we got around his taxes, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a write off, right?
Right.
But can you write off taxes from another country if you build? I don't know. Like,
dude, yeah, I don't fucking...
Wells in Africa?
You put all of your money into that company, which is like housed out of there.
Yeah, and you probably launder a lot of it.
Gotta have a shell company.
Yeah. That's how it's happening, really.
You need yourself a Bill and Melinda Gates fund.
Or Clinton Foundation.
Exactly.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, whoa. Don't be putting that name out there. I'm not trying to get killed.
That'd be funny if they were so petty that they murdered us.
Aww.
We're like not even like the biggest
a passing comment.
We don't even talk the most shit on the Clintons here. It's not even close. We're like bottom three.
We have to be proud about that.
What? That we don't talk?
No. Like if the Clintons like took their time to take us out,
maybe they're more offended by how little effort we put into the joke.
Yeah, they're just like, come on, like try harder,
be better.
Yeah,
and you're dead.
Did they kill Phil Hartman? He was the first Clinton impersonator on Saturday Night Live. He did the famous sketch where he's like eating chicken nuggets and shit at
probably
McDonald's.
Put fentanyl in those chicken nuggets.
Yeah. Well, no, his wife shot him while he was asleep.
Yeah.
But they gave, maybe they
probably
gave
her... Probably put fentanyl in that bullet.
Well, she was high on cocaine at the time, so maybe that's where the fentanyl came in. And then she killed herself.
Well, as Charlie Murphy once said, cocaine's a hell of a drug.
It is. He did say that, though.
Who said that?
Rick James.
Oh, that's right.
Charlie Murphy sketch, though.
Yeah, it was. Damn.
But yeah, so the Clintons killed Phil Hartman, probably. I think we all agree on that now.
They also gave Magic Johnson AIDS, right?
Yeah, and they didn't kill Daryl Hammond, the other Clinton impersonator, but they did get him addicted to crack.
Interesting.
Did you know that Daryl Hammond like smoked crack for a while, I think?
I heard crack was really good. And like if it didn't come with the stigma that it is now, like what if it, like you just thought of it as kind of like smoking tobacco?
Eli described crack Saturday night as just a super hot woman on your dick for about 5 minutes and then she just vanishes.
Okay.
Huh. I mean, I guess I could think. Yeah, he did say that. Yeah.
Okay. He's done some crack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
He's done pretty much every drug, I think.
Well, that's fun. Where do you even get? Where do you even get that?
You make crack.
Yeah, you make it yourself. You buy the Coke.
You just buy the Coke, the bacon soda.
Yeah. Whoever, man, whoever thought that up was
a genius,
I guess.
Well, the U.S. government, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The CIA.
Yeah.
CIA thought up crack. I forgot about that.
I love in the last 5 minutes we've hit like 17 conspiracies.
Oh, we just demonetized this video.
Yeah, 100%. Oopsie. Anyway, we got more crack to talk about, right?
Yeah.
Crack talk.
Crack talk?
Crack talk. That'll be our next show.
I would love to have a show that just goes down and step by step like talks about the Clinton Foundation or the Melinda Gates Fund. It's like, how do you start a fund like this?
Yeah, right.
Like, how do you start a...
Greg LaMontagne saying 5th Street downtown Austin is where you buy the crack. Is that true? Oh, wait, is what's that club where we used to buy drugs in the alley? Did you ever come with us for that? Kingdom.
Kingdom.
Yeah, the Kingdom Alley.
Kingdom was a good club.
That's 4th Street, isn't it?
Yeah, that's 4th Street.
And 4th Street, that's also where the gay bars are.
It's a little down the street from from the gay bars, but yeah.
5th Street, there's really nothing on 5th Street.
No, 5th Street's pretty barren.
5th Street's cool towards Mopac, where you have like Mean Eye Cat.
Yeah. Right next to Mopac, yeah. I do like it down there.
Well, in the crazy sports news, to wrap it up, since we don't have much time left, we get to talk about my favorite thing, which is grappling.
Cut his mic.
But it is tag team grappling. Yes, is real. Everything we thought of as 6 and 8 year old kids that you wanted to do, well, now there are crazy enough people with money from the internet and random sponsors that can do this.
You and I were not similar 6 year olds, clearly.
If you and three of your friends did not have tag team wrestling matches against each other in the living room on the cushions,
dude, in the backyard,
yeah, on a mattress,
on your parents' outdoor furniture, you laid that down, the pads,
mm-hmm.
and then you just build your own little rink. Suplex each other. I don't know how I'm not paralyzed at this point.
I mean, a lot of children did get paralyzed.
I've dropped I was dropped on my head and my neck at least a half dozen times.
Yeah.
From power bombs, like failed power bombs.
Doesn't kill you, makes you stronger.
Spine busters, German suplexes.
All the kinds. So that's now legal, and it's in an MMA cage, and there's a little rope. So like the one man has to hold on to the rope while the other guys are fighting in the middle, and they come back and they touch you. Basically.
Yeah.
But if you get him over towards your guy, you can stay on top of him, tag your other guy in. He jumps while you both are on top, and you have 3 seconds to let go. So you just take turns, like, jumping on each other.
When do we get to the tables, ladders, and chairs?
We're very close.
Yeah, just do, like, professional wrestling, but real.
We're so close to that.
Yeah.
It is real.
I mean, really real.
What do you mean, really real? It is real. Just scripted.
Yeah, that makes it not real.
Yeah,
it doesn't not make it.
No,
you're still getting hurt.
It makes it
not
a competition.
You're not getting hurt enough.
It's not a competition. It's a performative act.
Yeah, you see those punches? Those aren't good punches.
They're not great punches. No.
Yeah, you need real shit.
Yeah,
but I mean, you're still going through tables, and you're still getting.
Yeah, the tables breaking in there. They probably saw it a little bit though. But
yeah, they're special. They're specialty tables.
Yeah, come on.
There's still chairs.
Yeah, I think they're
ECW. I mean. Mick Foley's still getting spine busted on the thumbtacks. Those are real thumbtacks.
Yeah, that's true.
Triller's,
Mick Foley's a real one.
Yeah. Triller's doing this combat fight. Submission Underground's doing tag team. The Russians are doing 5-on-5 and 10-on-10. Like it's the golden age of the internet and watching people do crazy shit, and I'm just so here for it.
I'm okay with that. Can add some fluorescent light tubes that you can hit each other with.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Did you ever do that in high school?
No.
Okay.
I didn't.
So now we're talking sort of like American Ninja Warrior, Ultimate Warrior. What was the one where you're standing on the pads and you have like the stick with the pads on and you hit each other off the beam?
Well, American Gladiator.
American Gladiator, yes. So it's kind of like American Gladiator mixed with MMA in a way.
I like that. Man, I would have loved to be on American Gladiator.
Like you like throw someone like off one rink into another rink and then you gotta slide down and fight down there. And
you're getting tossed 5 seconds in, Rob.
I just looked fun. I wanted the one where you shoot the tennis ball gun. It's like a potato cannon.
Oh, that was good. And you had like move up, but you couldn't get hit.
Yeah.
And you're like diving and that rolling.
I'd rather be on Guts.
Guts? Yeah.
I'd rather American Gladiator was like
you
the show.
You don't know Piece of the Kraken?
What was it? Wait, what was the mountain called?
Wasn't it the Kraken?
No.
I'm wrong.
It was some crag. Agro Crag.
Yeah, that's
it. Agro Crag.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was so fucking, that show was so dumb. I watched it all the time, but it was so fucking
dumb. What was the other one? Hidden Temple? That was very similar.
Legend of the Hidden Temple. I never saw anybody win that. They would always get caught.
I always get slimed.
That one was hard, for sure.
The remake of that was The Floor is Lava that they did on Netflix.
Yeah. MXC is the best.
MXC, you're younger than us.
Extreme Elimination Challenge? That's just bought like footage that they would dub over.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just Asian stuff. Dude,
that is just like, let's turn on Spike TV and laugh at Asians.
Yeah,
that's pretty much the entire premise of that show.
There used to be one where they'd have to like fit through like a human puzzle piece as the wall would come towards them.
Yeah.
There's just all kinds of weird stuff like that.
That wasn't
Japanese
that long ago.
Game
that
shows
was like
are dope.
Splash Out or whatever.
Yeah.
That was another one. Yeah.
Yeah, they did. That wasn't like John Cena the host or something. By the way.
Oh, there was one where you would like shake hands and it's how long you could keep shaking hands with someone. It was Banzai. That was the name of that show. Someone looked that up real quick. I think it was Banzai. And it was just like really weird challenges. One of them was Shaking Hands Man.
Yeah, that's the show I saw a clip of where the porn star. Straight porn star got blown by a gay porn star.
Yeah, it's like stuff like that.
And it's like he was like, I am in total control of my orgasms. I will not orgasm if I do not want to. And the gay porn star was like, yeah, I'm going to get you. And they put like a curtain so you couldn't see it happening.
Did
but
he get
you
him?
Could like see the guys. Yeah, he got him. Oh, he got him. Wow. You could tell it was so funny too because at the end the guy was like he was so cocky. He was like, it's fine, it's fine. And then he was like, oh no! He got me.
Just the face, seeing the money go away.
Yeah, he's like, no, God.
Oh,
holy
man,
shit.
Now I'm looking this up. I wonder how long. Yeah, Mr. Shaking Hands Man, controversy. In August 2001, 2 years before Fox aired its first episode of Banzai, clips aired on Channel 4.
But yeah, that was a good. That I love.
It's just anti-Asian stuff. I thought they were going to talk about the sexual acts.
Speaking of game shows, real quick, before we get off air, I just want to say, I don't know what kind of financial trouble Helen Mirren is in, but it would be more dignified for her to start a GoFundMe than host a Harry Potter quiz show. It like breaks my heart to see that woman hosting.
I'm not familiar with her work.
Helen Mirren?
Yeah.
You'd know her if you saw her.
Okay.
Oscar winner, like the hottest old lady of all time.
Oscar winner?
Yeah.
And she's doing a Harry Potter game show?
Yes. It's fucking troubling. Like I feel bad for her. I wanna like.
How often do you get the questions right?
How was that show? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut in.
I haven't watched it because it looks awful. There's like adults, grown ass adults.
It's like adults and kids paired together, right?
Yeah.
And they're in a house, which is like kind of which house they get to choose: Slytherin, Gryffindor, Hufflepuff, and then they compete with the trivia against each other, right?
Yeah.
And I think the parents are like really too far into it, and the kids are like, "Mom, why do you make me do this? I can't even read." And she's like, "Shut up! I love Harry Potter."
Yeah, it's fucking creepy. Yeah. Imperial Girls saying. She's making a ton of money from it. I'm sure she is.
And she was in Harry Potter.
She was not. Helen Mirren was not in Harry Potter, actually. She's like the only British actor or actress in the fucking world that wasn't in it, which makes it even weirder that she's hosting. It's not about the money, Imperial Girl. It's about her dignity. Hosting again. Like, it's like Ross says all the time. There's no acting jobs anymore.
Also, Orlando is just home of just grown adults that fetishize and are obsessed with childlike things.
It's
Harry Potter,
up,
Disney.
My wife loves.
What channel is this on?
TBS. It's just depressing all the way down.
How did TBS get that?
I don't fucking know.
It's
man.
Just like white people Novocaine, like OxyContin in TV form. It's just like it's on when you're at a house that you're visiting your relatives and you like just don't know what to do. So something's on TV,
dude. It's just watching the like the 50-year-olds on there like. They're like Hufflepuff, like.
Well,
shit, dude.
Let's not shit on white people's culture, okay?
Yeah, I like Harry Potter, not that much. I do like it.
I enjoy,
but
it.
Not to dress up and compete against other
it's
people.
Fucking yeah, man.
Like I mean, how many emails did you have to send? Like interviews? Like how much did you have to be on tape? You'd have to come sit in some sort of place and like wait for someone to call you in.
That's true. If you go to Harry Potter Land and you buy a wand, you should be put on a list.
Yeah. Like getting on that game show You're not proving what you think you're proving.
No.
Yeah.
You're proving something very different.
It's really. The only thing dumber than that is when I was at TFM, I wrote an article shitting on college Quidditch because it's the dumbest shit of all time.
Did they really start that?
The amount of heat I got on Twitter from fucking Quidditch players was.
I thought they were going to burn the office down.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
They were like, you couldn't hang for 5 fucking seconds on a Quidditch field.
New business plan.
Yeah.
We have like little shitty robotic owls, and you sign up to get your significant other or your child the letter delivered from the owl.
Oh.
And basically, like it's like a drone owl? Yeah, it's like a edible arrangement delivery. So you like set up a time, and you know the kid's going to be there, and the mom's like, look out the window, and you just like drone the owl in, and then just drop off the letter and drone the owl back, and you charge them like $1,000.
That would sell, sadly. My wife would probably want one. The other day, she was like, what house do you think Rory was in? And I was like, I don't know. I have to put a pistol in my mouth real quick.
Is that your dog?
It's my son.
Oh. I never knew your child's name until right now.
Rory.
It's Rob Fox the fourth, but like he.
Okay, yeah.
It's his nickname.
Yeah.
But of course, Rory is not Rob.
I like Rory.
Yeah.
I like that. It's nice.
It's a good name.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I got for today.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Let's do it.
Bye.
We have a good show coming on at 2:00. The founders of the Babylon Bee will be on the main channel. So check that out.
So lots of jokes.
Yeah, it should be good. All right.
See you.
Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.